You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this emergency episode, this emergency podcast here at Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, and every now and then with these here emergency pods covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints. As always, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson Nola, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host of the National Locked On NFL. We got some big news today. Reportedly, Taysom Hill taking over as a starting quarterback on Sunday. We're going to discuss it. I'll tell you three things that I feel positive about, three question marks that I have, and then we'll wrap up with what I'm watching for. If he is indeed getting that start, we're just going to assume he is for the sake of this episode. And also, what he stands to lose or gain. Got all that coming up for you here and what was a live broadcast over at Locked On Live. So make sure you follow at Locked On Live and myself at Ross Jackson Nola. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode, emergency podcast here at Locked On Saints, your team every day. It is time. It has been said. We will see if it happens. Taysom Hill is reportedly named the starter this week against the Atlanta Falcons at quarterback. Remember, Drew Brees is out for at least a couple of weeks with a rib injury as well as the collapsed lung. Let's not forget about that. And then, of course, a lot of talk all throughout the week was that Jameis Winston would probably be the guy. I certainly thought that Jameis Winston would be the guy. But according to Ian Rappaport, Nick Underhill, and several other sources, it's looking like there is a chance that it is actually going to be Taysom Hill as the starter. I don't want to be too definitive about it because it's not about being right or wrong. It's just about what we're seeing so far and what we're hearing so far based upon these sources that are essentially telling us what they're hearing about what's going on in practice. Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, both tweeting out saying that it looks like Taysom Hill has taken most of the starting snaps, if not all of the starting snaps, under center so far, or even from shotgun at quarterback is the way that we'll say it here. So far throughout the practice week, indicating that Taysom Hill does indeed look like the starter. So it's been from several sources. And again, not about being right or wrong, just about this is the information that we have right now. We'll see what actually happens on game day. But for the sake of this conversation, we're going to go about this as if Taysom Hill is absolutely the starter for the New Orleans Saints. So there's a couple of different topics that we're going to hit on. And of course, as we continue to go through, continue to chime in through the chat, wherever it is that you're listening. If you're listening live, for those of you that are listening later, we'll get to some listener, or, some people that are watching. We'll get to some questions and some statements and everything from folks all throughout over here on the live portion of this show. So let's dive in. I have some notes prepared. We'll go ahead and get started here. So the first thing that we got to talk about is that this would be Taysom Hill's first career start in the NFL. The most recent tweet from Adam Schefter referring to this also mentions that Jameis Winston will not be a part of any offensive packages on Sunday versus the Falcons per Diana Rossini of ESPN. The Saints quarterback now is Taysom Hill. So this kind of puts to bed a little bit, if this were true, my theory that, yeah, he could get the start, but he might not see the bulk of the snaps. The way that this sounds, even though Sean Payton, as of just a few moments ago at the time of airing this and recording this, will not really commit to naming a starting quarterback. He did say that a starting quarterback has been decided upon, but won't say who it is, which makes a ton of sense, right? Competitive leverage, all that good stuff. But we got to see exactly what it ends up actually looking like. But from what Adam Schefter tweeted, it sounds like it's going to be the Taysom Hill show, or Taysom time, as many people are calling it, all across this game. Now, there are some positives. There are some concerns. There are things that I'm going to be watching and things that Taysom Hill both stands to gain and lose. That's what we're going through for today's episode. So if you're just now joining us, you're just now tuning in, Taysom Hill reportedly named the starter as for the New Orleans Saints going up against the Atlanta Falcons. So let's go ahead and talk about the three positives that I have here that go on around this. So first of all, we finally get to learn about Taysom Hill as a starting NFL quarterback. One of my biggest sort of things that has always made me sort of lean a little bit more to Jameis Winston in this situation is simply the fact that we've seen Jameis Winston as a starting NFL quarterback before. He did it for 5 years in Tampa Bay. Yes, he threw 30 interceptions in one of those years. I know it. But we've seen him have the job. We've seen him be the guy, right, for a franchise as their starting quarterback. So with that, my biggest sort of hesitation with Taysom Hill has always been the fact that we haven't seen that. So far over his career, he's completed 10 passes out of 18 for 205 yards, no touchdowns, also no interceptions. But the 55.5% completion percentage is definitely something to keep an eye out on as we go through and jump through this. But, you know, 10 of 18 for 205 yards, that's really the only look we've gotten at Taysom Hill. Meanwhile, Jameis Winston's got 5 years of experience. That's one of the reasons why I lean toward Jameis Winston. I know a lot of people are also calling this a Tamus situation, but the fact of the matter is that now we get to learn about Taysom Hill. There won't be any more of the we'd never seen Jameis play as a starting quarterback in a regular season game outside of some of the preseason snaps that he has had over the past couple of seasons. We're going to have an actual sample size, albeit a small one because it will only be one game, but still some kind of sample size. So we'll get a look and we'll actually be able to determine some things off of that. We'll talk a little bit more about that later because I still don't think you answer the major question with just one game, but we'll get to that in a second. The second positive thing that I have here, we finally get to see Sean Payton create a game plan for a fully mobile quarterback. That's something that we haven't really gotten to see. It's been years and years and years of, you know, of Drew Brees. You know, Drew Brees cracking jokes about, hey, we're going to coach, when are we going to put in the option? When are we going to run in? You know, when are we going to put in the triple option? Things like that. Those things have always been a joke. But now all of a sudden, we do get to see Coach Payton pull together a game plan with a mobile quarterback. Again, we're going under the understanding and operating the understanding for the sake of this episode is that we actually devote time to Taysom Hill and actually talk about Taysom Hill as if he is the starter as being reported. So when I say, you know, we get to see it, that's what would happen if Taysom Hill ends up being the starter. That would be one of the positives. And I would look forward to seeing that. If you wanted to see a petty game plan from Sean Payton, you might get the pettiest of Paytons in this game if you get an opportunity. If Sean Payton goes out there and marches out a game plan that's even adequate enough to get them a convincing win, you're going to see some petty game calls toward the end of that game. That is for certain, and especially being able to do it against the Atlanta Falcons. And that is the next point that I'll make in terms of our final positive here. There are many, but I'm just narrowing each of these down to three. Taysom Hill is very familiar with the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, he's played against the Atlanta Falcons two times a year since 2017, which, you know, factors into all of that. But when you look at what he's done so far over the last couple of years in playing against Atlanta, he's only thrown two passes against Atlanta for 17 yards. Now, he has run eight times for 96 yards and a touchdown, averaging 12 yards per carry, which is just absolutely nuts. And then you've also seen him catch three passes for 15 yards and a touchdown. If he's going to be your full-time starting quarterback, you're probably not going to see him catching passes. In fact, you are not going to see him catching passes. But what he's been able to do so far in the run game is definitely a big part of it. Ryan G jumping in. Sean just said that he hasn't announced it. That's exactly what we talked about here just a moment ago. We are operating under the understanding that he is reportedly the guy, but Sean Payton indeed has said that a decision has been made about who the starting quarterback is, but he ain't telling nobody who it is. So that is absolutely right. But we are going to continue to move forward here as if Taysom Hill is the starter, because oftentimes we don't dedicate an actual conversation to Taysom Hill. We kind of talk about him in passing. I know I'm guilty of it. Talk about him in passing while focusing on Jameis Winston being the guy. So that's what we're going to be doing here. Now let's talk a little bit about the three concerns / question marks that we might have. I'm seeing some questions pop up in the chat. We're going to get to questions here in just a moment. I'm not ignoring you. I promise. I love you and I appreciate you being here. Let's get started with those. One of my biggest ones is going to be indecisiveness. This is not at all unfamiliar, right? This is going to be his first start as an NFL quarterback. He's thrown 18 career passes so far. You're going to see some indecisiveness. We want to see the opposite side of that. We'll get to more of that here in a moment. But some of that indecisiveness comes down to not only holding on to the ball too long and trying to make decisions about all of this, but also looking at whether he's going to run, is he going to pass, what's that balance going to be? One of the other concerns / question marks is really what I'd rather call these. It's just lack of experience as an NFL passer. Is he going to make some poor decisions based on the fact that he's seeing the game at full speed in the regular season over and over and over again? And how will he handle adversity and how will adversity factor into that as well? And then recently over the season, he's got four fumbles on the season so far, two of which have been lost. So fumbles, ball security, definitely something to take a look at as well, especially if he ends up under pressure in the backfield, which hopefully he'll be able to extend some of those plays, something exciting that we might get to see there. And then also if he runs the ball, making sure that he holds on to the ball, right? It's not out of the ordinary. It's definitely something that we want to see him improve upon from what we've seen so far this season. But his track record over the course of his career shines positive in that very nature. So now the next thing I want to talk about is sort of what it is that I'm going to be watching for with Taysom Hill out on the field. Again, assuming that Taysom Hill is indeed actually going to be the starter as reported by multiple sources so far, but not confirmed by head coach Sean Payton. Very important to acknowledge that. I want to see how he handles adversity What is his composure like? At some point, something's going to go wrong. And I said the same thing about Jameis Winston. Something's going to go wrong at some point, but how does he handle that? How does he work through that? Does he have the short memory that he needs to continue to produce against that adversity? It's something that we have sort of really been put into positions where we get to take that for granted when it comes to Drew Brees. You just know that he's got the short memory. Nothing's going to bother him. Nothing's going to last in terms of bothering him. So I want to see if he's going to have a similar type of response to any adversity, any complications that he finds, things like that. So number two, going through his progressions, making his reads. I'm curious to see how Sean Payton's going to game plan that. When it's just a couple of plays sprinkled here and there, we have seen him go through progressions and make them. I remember the big touchdown pass to Austin Carr a couple of years ago, or maybe it was even last year. I don't know. It's Corona, y'all. My timeline's all messed up. But in the Chargers game there, he ended up finding Austin Carr after reading through several progressions there. You've seen him do it before, but how is Sean Payton going to adjust the game plan? Is it going to be full field progressions, or is he going to create moments where it's just half field progressions or field, you know, area progressions as well? It'd be really interesting to see how that happens. I think his successful game plan will help him with that. The next thing I'm going to be looking for is, we talked about my concern on indecisiveness. What I want to see is decisiveness. If we look back at the five passes that he's attempted so far this season, he's 4 of 5 for 86 yards. Pretty good, actually. Not too terrible there. 3.06 seconds in terms of from snap to the actual throw. Holding on to the ball for quite a bit. Remember, Drew Brees averages around 2.57 last year. I think he's around the 2.4s this year. He's under 2.5, averages most of his throws under 2.5 seconds. Taysom Hill, over 3 seconds in terms of holding on to the ball. That means that the offensive line has to block longer, and we want to see him tighten that up a little bit. We've seen it before in 2018, where he threw 7 passes. He completed 3 of them for 64 yards. His average time to throw was exactly 2.5 seconds. So we've seen it before in 2018. Is he going to be able to replicate that, especially with a full week of game install and a full week of game plan creation on his side and in his favor at this point as well? Want to jump in. I see y'all in the chat. I appreciate y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Cody Rourke asked whether or not Drew Brees is running from Denver. Well, actually, he just said Drew running from Denver. I know he means Drew Brees, but you might mean Drew Lock. Let's go ahead and jump into the next thing that I'm going to be watching. Deep ball accuracy. You know, look, this is going to be an opportunity to open up the game plan a little bit. I talked to Deuce McAllister. That episode of Locked on Saints is out right now. That's the Friday episode. If you want to go back and listen to that, segments 2 and 3 with Deuce. And we talked about whether or not, and you know, when he was playing with the Saints, there was a lot more attacking the ball downfield, or attacking downfield with the ball, excuse me, and Drew Brees having that arm to be able to do that. We don't see that as much, a little bit more of a condensed West Coast offense, less air core yell than we've seen in the past in terms of their offensive scheme. Does that change? Do we see some of those 2006 through 2015 game plans all of a sudden come up in terms of the deep shots, deep over routes, deep concepts, things like that? And if it's there, does Taysom Hill have the deep ball accuracy to get the job done? Of course, we can all reference the big throw that he made in the NFC wildcard game and the loss to the Minnesota Vikings, the big 50-yard pass when Deontay Harris just burnt Xavier Rhodes, you know, got him cut basically from his team. You know, and it was a little bit underthrown, but the accuracy was still there. We're still able to get the ball down. So, you know, that does add a little bit of an exciting element to this offense for sure. And it would have, regardless of who was under center, but certainly been able to see it with Taysom. We can answer some questions there. The last thing I'm going to be looking for, the balance between the pass and the run. I mean that both on offense, and of course, I also mean that through Taysom Hill, who has developed a reputation, at least amongst the fan base and people that are watching these games, as when you see him under center, people feel very confident, oh, he's probably going to run the ball. Now, it's a little bit harder to try to actually equate that to what it's like on the field, not necessarily the same, but what is we going to see there? And if he's going to be the full-time quarterback, then we're going to have to see more of a balance, and we're certainly going to see more of a balance. We'll see him tuck and run if he's in trouble. And that's the thing that's different about Taysom and about Drew, is that if the options aren't there, Taysom has the tuck and run ability to be able to pick up yards. So, you know, you're not going to see Drew Brees spinning off of Falcons every Falcons game, unfortunately. But that is something that you can see with Taysom Hill, who can go through some of these defenders and, in fact, has gone through several Falcons defenders in his time against the Saints. Remember, he was averaging 12 yards per carry, 12 yards per run attempt against the Falcons so far in his career. So what is that balance going to be? And some of that's going to be play calling, right? The uses of Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. Somebody in the chat here asked a moment ago, what does this mean for AK? This is coming from Killer Kyle. What does this mean for AK? More or less rushing yards? I think you still see a lean on the run game in this game, especially early. Help everything settle in. Remember, this is going to be, and I'm sorry to say it again, but I'm going to say it again. This is going to be Taysom Hill's first ever NFL start. Like, there's going to be jitters. There's going to be things early. The run game is going to be able to help support him in that, as well as the short passing game. The one thing that you can also look at with Taysom Hill that a lot of people had questions about with Jameis Winston was, can Jameis Winston reel it in and focus on what is close to the line of scrimmage? Taysom Hill has shown that he can do that. He has worked in this offense for years and now definitely understands the ability and how important it is to make the decision to drop the ball off and be able to look to those dump offs. Now, what is it that Taysom Hill stands to gain or lose in this game? And I wrote this down. I want to make sure that I read this because I wrote it very precisely. He'll either firmly cement himself in the conversation for heir apparent in the public perception or not. And what I mean by that is that the public is going to have a very strong opinion on whether or not he is or is not the heir apparent based upon this singular performance. However, not all these questions are likely to be answered with just one game. Remember, this isn't isolated, right? This isn't just in a vacuum of this one game. We still have to wait and see how long Drew Brees is going to be out. He might not be going on injured reserve. If he doesn't go on injured reserve, then there's a chance that he can come back in three games or potentially fewer, but I'm going to just say in three games. Injured reserve would keep him out for exactly three games, allowing him to return in the fourth from here, which I think would be the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's what I'll say. I think that what he stands to gain is that he firmly cements himself in the conversation for the Saints heir apparent for certain, right? Just shows that he deserves to be in that conversation, which I think is something that he wants to prove. I'm speculation. I can't speak for him. And then the other part of it is essentially, if he doesn't cement himself, if this doesn't go well, what does it mean? I don't think that it completely knocks him out of the conversation. It might in the public opinion, but for this organization who has been committed to him for years, remember, a two-year, $21 million contract, the majority of which is going to be paid out next year. It's for more than just being a quarterback. It's for being all of the things that he is. But they also have a bit of a monetary investment in him. And if he can be a quarterback at that price tag, that's good news for the Saints because he's already on, so on and so forth. I'm not going to get into his contract, but I know that there are some national folks that are like singing praises right now because, you know, now Taysom Hill is, everybody's complaining because, oh, you paid Taysom Hill $20 million to not be the backup quarterback. And now here he is potentially, reportedly being the backup quarterback. So hush, hush your face. All right. So that's the way that I look at it. He's got a lot to gain. He's got a little bit to lose. I think no matter what, he doesn't cement himself specifically beyond anything but the conversation based upon one game's performance. We'll have to see what continues to happen here all throughout the season. So those are my things. That's what I like about this. That's what I'm concerned about when it comes to this. And that's what I'm going to be watching, what Taysom Hill stands to gain and lose and more, and how it affects Sean Payton and the potential game plan moving forward as well. For those of you that are live, we're going to hang out here for just a second. We're going to get your takes on all of this. Going to take your questions. But for those of you that are listening to the show, enjoy. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Will it be Jameis? Will it be Taysom? Right now, reportedly, it is Taysom. But just to reiterate, Sean Payton at this point has not declared whether or not it's going to be one or the other. He has declared that there has been a decision made. He just will not clarify what the decision is. I don't mind that. I like that. Do that. I understand. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on Sunday. And as you listen to this, we'll be back with you on Monday to recap all of the action. Should be very exciting. And you know how it goes. Monday through Friday, every single day. Appreciate you coming through for this emergency podcast here on Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I appreciate you as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. If you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I appreciate you as always for coming through, for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. Trust you, that nation. I'll holler at you.